Podcasts, the latest frontier. These are the voyages of the Green Shirt Crew.
Hi!
Hey, everybody.
Guys, please.
Their continuing mission, to watch the next generation for the first time.
The second, actually.
Third.
To seek out old mistakes.
Hey.
And continuity errors.
Guys, stop it right now.
To boldly go where millions of fans have gone before. This week's episode, The Schizoid Man.
Andrew's family came to visit, and we had decided it had been a long time since we'd done a family photo. Mm-hmm. And so Andrew used to be a photographer, and he set up everything so we could do a family photo. And we decided to also simultaneously do the awkward family photos on purpose. And I realized this is where, you know, how you always talk about you realize you're old, mm-hmm. where I kind of realized I'm old because, number one, it was a lot of fun to, like, pretend and do the awkward photos. And then you remember back when you didn't have a choice about awkward photos and that, you know, you would take your school picture and that would be it. And you don't get to delete shit. It's just there for mm-hmm. the rest of your life. And it is funny, like, to look back at those times and see how awkward and funny looking you were and the bad photos you kept. I kind of miss those days when kids didn't understand that they could just delete their photos and they all look like their little fucking models.
You're stuck. terrible fucking photo of yourself.
They all know to, like, do that smile, you know, and then ask you to delete it. I'm like, you're 5 years old. You get to keep your awkward, ugly photo, okay?
We used to do a family photo every year in front of our fireplace, and then we'd blow it up. My wife worked at a photo lab, so we'd blow it up to a canvas, a 3-foot by 5-foot canvas, and put it behind us in the photo for every year.
That's awesome.
We would be posed in front of last year's photo, and then eventually, you know, last year's photo inside of last year's photo inside of last year's photo.
How many parallel universes did you get behind you?
There was four, and every year we had, like, our pet. We had chickens in the photo, our
that's
pets.
Awesome.
We did a Three's Company one where I was with me and two female roommates, so we did a Jack Tripper. I was wearing roller skates for some reason. And,
oh, man. Yes.
Good stuff.
Well, hello, listeners, and welcome back to Green Shirt, a newbie's trek through the next generation. It's me, Cameron, the aforementioned newbie, just trying to body swap my way into someone who has seen the next generation. And here, holding my hands along the way, the Dorothy Gale to my Tin Man, Marcy.
Snap.
And the Tyrell to my Roy Batty, Rob.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't understand that reference.
That's Blade Runner. Blade Runner.
Yeah, you don't like Blade Runner.
Is Tyrell the guy who watched a show and then came onto a podcast to be the guy who once watched the show but who's completely forgotten the show? That's my role right at this point.
Yes. Well, we all hopefully watched The Computer That Wore Tennis Shoes.
Wait,
nope. The Schizoid Man. That's what we watched.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other one is an old Kurt Russell Disney movie, but basically the same plot.
Mm.
Season 2 Star Trek writers, stop trying to make Pulaski a thing, okay?
Yeah.
Opening an episode with her medical log, Crusher didn't get a medical log for like 12 fucking episodes.
And she never traveled via magic green screen.
That was pretty cool, though. That was cool. Do you think it was probably a green screen effect, right? I was hoping that they had, like, built a turning turbo lift in the middle of the two sets.
I think it was green screen.
She was pretty kind of badly keyed. It was, it was a guy who used to
green screen things. I was pretty impressed. Yeah, there's a cool tracking shot where she walks into the turbo lift and goes up to the bridge all in one shot.
Yeah. That's a good attempt. I'm glad they went for it.
I guess if you're going to do a medical log, have the fucking doctor in the episode, okay?
Yeah, she's barely in the episode. There's a whole other doctor who gets all the screen
time.
Yeah,
the stand-in is basically gets more lines than Pulaski does, and she's a main character.
It's true.
Well, I appreciate they tried to give her something to do since they knew that they were going to dispatch with her early.
Then yeah,
like,
but
well, let's give her some lines.
The opening log is a highly valued and important
it
place.
It sure is.
Not anymore.
No. Well, she's definitely hammering this whole, like, I'm holier than thou attitude in the beginning, because she wants Picard to know for sure that she does not care how important Dr. Ira Graves is. She's going to treat him because he's a man. Oh, more people need treated? Fuck that guy in the balls. I'm going to go help these guys.
She's got the right idea, I mean.
But she's like the person who, like, tweets every time they round up their grocery bill for charity. Like, okay, we get it. You're a moral person. Okay. Stop rubbing our noses in it.
Are they, though, when they, like, post it?
No.
Am I supposed to be tweeting that? I do it all the time, you guys. I do it all the
Dr.
time.
Pulaski? Oh, Rob.
I round up every time, you guys, whenever they ask.
Every time.
I don't need it,
Andrew and I are so charitable that we have our box of emergency food, and it's about to expire, so we're going to give that to the food bank.
Oh, nice. You are so... Wow. This is the right thing to do, because it's the right thing to do, Marcy.
Of course.
I hope you replace it with one of those apocalypse buckets. You know, those buckets. Those buckets that the sham guys
Pandora's
sell.
Pandora's box? Is
There's
that what
an
you're
actual,
talking about?
Like, no, it's like those, like...
Bucket?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, God, I gotta show you guys the whole new world. It's one of these, like, hucksters, religious hucksters. They sell, like, a bucket full of... Yeah.
That's it's just an empty
just
bucket
stuff?
To shit in,
no, it's a bucket.
Right?
That's, like, survivalist stuff. Bucket. It's full okay. of food and, like, oh, man, there's some good stuff.
They've received a distress call from Graves World. And this episode is definitely a clarion warning call to not trust anyone who names a planet after themselves. I mean, that should have been their first sign.
What's the planet called?
Graves World. I was like, are they just calling it Graves World because he's on it? Or is it actually
they
named
after him?
They say
it with a straight
him?
Face every time,
oh,
too.
Oh, wow.
What would you guys name a planet if you had a chance?
Rob's World.
Yeah, yeah. But have you ever... Because sometimes NASA does these little naming polls for things. Have you ever... given your 2 cents to what something should be named?
I haven't, but I'd like to do it as a viral marketing opportunity, you know, like whatever I'm trying to promote.
They did one for the 2 moons they found around Pluto. SETI did do like an informal poll to try to name them. I suggested Serenity because, yeah. They didn't take that one because William fucking Shatner, Cerebrus, was the winner until a couple days before it closed. William Shatner was like, you guys should name it Vulcan. And everyone went crazy. And Vulcan won the poll. And then said he handed it over to the IAU, the International Astronomical Union, who actually gets to decide the names. And they said, and we're going to call it Styx and Caribous.
I would have named them Coke and Pepsi and see which one was more popular.
Hey.
I guess I would name them after my dogs. I'd be like, Roland, Toph,
and people
Scout.
Would be like, oh, you named him after the Dark Tower and...
Avatar the Last Airbender. That's right.
How would you name 2 moons after your 3 dogs? Which one would you leave out?
Oh.
And To Kill a Mockingbird main character.
But how do you think the Federation deals with names? Because obviously this guy just got to name his own planet.
Maybe he's just so famous, they're like, just give him a planet.
What do you do with
an entire... No one likes him, so just kick him off that
yeah,
planet.
Seriously.
So he can't deal with
what do you do when you own an entire planet? How much of that can you cover? Like, how big...
With
what's
semen?
The smallest...
Is that what you're saying? How much can you cover
that's
with
what,
your
yes,
semen?
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Probably.
At least 2/3.
How small... What's the smallest planet, and how long does it take to, like, drive around it?
And with
and
your
to put semen.
Semen
on everything.
Are you counting dwarf planets? Can I go look up...
I don't want to know the answer. I just...
I mean, fair. I think you would just, like... sit on your planet on the beach drinking like a Mai Tai and be like, yep, bitches, this is my beach.
Basically what like what the Little Prince did.
Sure.
I have a hard enough time like going across town. I can't imagine want like living on a whole planet by myself.
How boring is that? No wonder he had a Woody Allen like crush on his girl.
I was gonna make that reference, but for sure.
Ugh, gross.
No, Woody Allen was much grosser. She was much younger.
Aww. At least in Woody Allen's case, she was already a teenager when she lived
How
with
old
him.
Is Kareem?
He basically raised her, he
yeah,
said.
Yeah, he raised
she
her. Went,
she was born there with her father.
I didn't
and
really
father
think about
died.
That.
And he raised her.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Well, that's
well
the
you should have.
Yeah.
I missed a couple lines at the beginning, I think.
Because that was like, I keyed in on that right away, and I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, the first time
episode?
I was like, yeah, there's an age difference, but that's okay. And then the second time I was like, oh, this is creepier than I thought.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So then they cut to Data calling Troy and Geordi to his...
Do we have to talk about
yes,
this?
Yes, of course we
it
do.
Made me so angry.
Are you angry for the same reason I'm angry?
I don't know.
Why are you angry?
Because he looked damn good with that
yeah,
beard. And they're laughing at him. And they're laughing
like
it's the weirdest thing they've ever seen.
I was
but...
like, why are they laughing? Because it looks amazing.
Yeah, I'm a beardsman.
I wrote, why is Troy there? Why does the scene exist? That's all I wrote for the scene.
Because it's fucking hilarious and awesome. He looks like Riker.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if the episode had been at all about, like, Data's relationship with Riker, then okay, yeah, this would have planted seeds for that, but...
He's just always imitating people.
I know.
Maybe it sets you up for the tone of the episode where... This episode could have been a lot creepier and darker and scarier if they... And we'll talk about it, of course, when we get to it. But if they showed him taking control of Data's body or giving control back to Data's body, but those are all off screen. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they did that to make it less ominous. And
well, I feel like Geordi and Troy are instrumental to figuring out that he's not Data. Mm-hmm. And so it's good that they introduce them here, and then they're like, say Geordi's his best friend, right. You know, and you kind of get that from this scene.
I guess there's that. Okay. I'll give you that one.
Adds a little more tragedy when Geordi is not.
No, no, don't talk about that yet. Oh my God.
Did you damage your face, Data? It is a beard, Geordi. A fine, full, dignified it beard. Is. One which commands respect and projects thoughtfulness and dignity.
And Troy the counselor can't even be in the same room with him. She just flees because she can't stop laughing.
I loved it. I was just like, this is a fun scene. You know that part of it's probably because all the fans have been commenting about Riker's beard.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of like, we're going to bring this out. We're going to have Data with a beard.
It's definitely classic Data.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. There's another distress call. What is an Enterprise to do? The Istanbul... No.
Constantinople.
The Constantinople is in trouble.
It was constant.
Yeah. Apparently there's an explosion, so they've got to go save them too. And as we mentioned, Pulaski wants to save more lives than just one.
I'm a supervisor, so I need to go supervise the rescue because they might have hypoxia.
Hypoxia?
Dude, I'm 100% on board for her doing that. Especially
everyone
knowing...
survived, though. It's not that big an explosion.
Yeah, well, because she was there to supervise.
There you go. Pulaski finally saved some lives, Marcy.
Finally.
Off screen.
Who gives a fuck?
Like, warps away.
It made sense to me, and in hindsight, knowing that Dr. Graves is such a fucking asshole.
Maybe
like,
she knew
it's
him.
Great. She should
maybe.
Help those people.
Oh.
She's, like, old enough to know that guy, and she was like, I do not want to meet with Graves. Like, he kept calling me, you're not a person, you're a woman, and I was like, bitch slapped him, and could
that
you
could
see
be.
That
could
interaction?
Be. Oh, yeah.
Butting
that's why
heads?
She wasn't in the
yeah.
show, because she would not take any shit from either Graves or Graves Data.
Yeah.
Greta. That's the name I gave him. I shipped him.
Not bad.
So they're going to perform this near warp transporting. They talk a lot about this.
A touch and go down warping.
Ooh.
That sounds like a sexual position.
Night,
yeah,
know
I know.
I mean. I don't know what you mean.
No?
Touch and go down warping, y'all.
So that's a yoga move.
I get it now.
But here they are. They've all gone to the teleportation room to send the away team down.
This is a near warp transport, so the effects may be a little unusual.
What do you mean?
You'll see, Counselor. Energize.
Wait a minute. I don't understand.
Hold on. Don't do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, why is Riker being super formal with Troy right now? Is he, like, still pissed off that she was having dinner with Reva the Destroyer last episode?
Reva.
I just always give him a different title at the end. And then secondly, like, yeah, they would have had time to at least brief her a little bit on this touch-and-go maneuver they're about to pull.
And then when they followed through with it, they mm-hmm. probably could have shown something a little different than nothing happening.
Well, yeah. So remember, she just
her,
said
like,
she
coming
doesn't...
through the wall or
right.
something?
Yes, she just said, I don't understand, and then...
You do now.
This might sound crazy, but for a moment, I thought I was stuck in that wall.
For a moment, you were.
I want to see that Philadelphia experiment shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the episode I wanted to see. She's sending these distress calls. She's seeing something off screen that she's scared about. What's happening on this planet? Now we've got people being stuck on walls. This episode is not that interesting.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this episode is...
the worst.
It's not the worst. Funny thing, this is hilarious because this is the one episode that I was like, all right, things are finally getting better.
Like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's funny. I don't know. This is pretty middling for me. We'll get to that at the end.
Spoiler alert. Didn't like it.
Oh, good. We got a spread. These are always fun ones.
Mm-hmm.
One problem is like they made this sound super interesting. And then they get down there and then Kareem Abdul-Jabbar shows up. I promised myself I wouldn't make that joke and it just slipped out.
I thought they said Kareem the first time for sure.
Yeah.
But basically they're like, yeah, what was the matter? And she's like, this guy's sick and he didn't want a doctor. But now that a doctor's here, he's okay with it.
Well, and also just that. There really was no need for her to send a one-way transmission. Like, obviously she can get away enough to send a transmission, mm-hmm. so why can't she just, like, accept it and be like, okay, great, come down to my planet.
Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to speak ill of the untalented.
She's
so
a bad
let
actress.
Me try to think
yeah.
of something nice. She's pretty. She plays sweet and dumb okay. But yeah, every time she opened her mouth...
Well, she's kind of supposed to be his assistant, too, so mm-hmm. I was hoping for a little bit more.
I mean, yeah, to be fair, it's not all on her. She's written basically as an object of desire. She's basically a prop in this episode, right. So the writers hold a lot of the blame, too. But yeah, just, like, there was no urgency in her voice at all when suddenly this away team appears in her lab.
Right.
Looking up her filmography, just mm-hmm. for fun. She was in Striptease as Lorelai.
Okay.
and The Goldbergs, more recently. And the TV show Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
That's a series. Lot longer filmography than I think she deserves.
That's funny. That's I didn't mean. Notice.
She gets better as the episode goes on.
I didn't notice that she was... Yeah, I didn't... She didn't make my radar.
I thought she was pretty bad compared to some of the other extras we've had.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, shortly Graves makes an appearance, and this guy I can't take my eyes off. Like, it's kind of sad that they got rid of that actor so quick in the episode, because I loved him.
Well, and the funny thing is, too, I think we forgot to mention that they sent this other doctor down in place of Pulaski.
Yeah, we got a Vulcan.
And we finally got a Vulcan. Yeah. And she's very statuesque. Mm-hmm. And I think she did very well in her role mm-hmm. as the other doctor that went down to examine him.
I mean, I know that Crusher comes back. But if I didn't know that, I'd be like, kick Pulaski off and make this lady the head doctor
seriously.
Now. She's interesting.
Susie Plaxen. She was in a couple other Star Treks, in Star Trek Voyager as a female Q.
Whoa.
Star Trek Enterprise as Terra, which I don't know anything about. As well as some, like, Wag the Dog and Red Eye and Disclosure. So,
but I like her performance.
She's got red hair?
She's an actress, singer, writer, and artist.
Wow. Huh. Yeah, but she was legit. I was like, oh, I am more interested in this character than if Pulaski had been down there.
I think it's easy. I think playing a Vulcan's kind of cheating a little bit. I think it's kind of easy to be a pretty good Vulcan because you don't have to show emotion.
But they kind of do in a subtle way, mm-hmm. like... It's yes, they have no emotion, but you can tell she's like perturbed at mm-hmm. certain things. So I've always liked that about the Vulcans, and you're right, it is kind of easy to play that.
While I'm on IMDb, let's wrap up the third character who we also meet shortly is Graves, mm-hmm. who's in 182 acting
Ooh,
roles.
I can tell why.
Including local TV series The Librarians, which is shot here in Poland. But he was also in Star Trek VI as a Klingon. Klingon something.
Okay. Sorry, he was in the J.J. Abrams Trek 2, I think, as a Vulcan.
Oh, yeah.
Hasn't he been in, like, I feel like he's been in some, like, mining movie or something.
He's been on every movie, so yeah. 182
I
roles.
I bet he played a miner at one point.
And it says on IMDb his trademark is his raspy voice, so.
Ooh, I feel like, doesn't he have, it seems like he has a prosthetic eye.
Yeah, I didn't love him in this role.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't.
There were times where he did a cross-eyed look that was reminded me of the Jerry Lewis impression from the last episode.
Oh, no.
There was just times where he's like, oh,
and he's definitely playing big, and I'm guessing he was directed to do that so that then Brent Spiner could like do some of his mannerisms when he possesses Data later.
I think Data could have done more of his weird, if he was going to do mannerisms, he could have done these weird cross-eyed Jerry Lewis eyes. And also, just if they made him like 5% likable, maybe I would have liked the character.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's not a likable character, but I still loved watching the actor perform.
Well, yeah, I mean, I liked that they made him unlikable. You know, you're immediately, like, I was immediately engaged in the storyline because I was like, no, Data, no. Like, I could tell he was a bad guy. Like, I was like, he's going to do something. And then the instant they start talking about Data's kill switch, I'm like, no, Data, don't tell him about the kill switch, you know? And so it's sort of like I felt more engaged because there was more at stake mm-hmm. earlier on in the episode.
But speaking of him being unlikable, whoo boy, is this show getting misogynistic? And I mean, it wasn't not misogynistic to begin with.
Right.
So the fact that it's amping it up, the last four episodes, we've got this guy who's just wants to stick his dick in everything. Last episode, we had Reva, the Mandalorian. He was thinking with his id.
Yeah.
You have Okana, who was dropping trow at the mere voice of a woman. And even before that, you had Nagilam, who was like, a woman on the bridge? What is this?
Right.
So, just four episodes in a row is a little much, guys.
Rough.
I'd like to submit Reva, the fresh maker.
If I have to name him again, that will be it.
So let's hear one of the lines that this misogynist says.
Well, 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 what have we got here? Another lovely specimen of womanhood.
I thought you didn't like people.
Women aren't people. They're women.
Troy getting hit on by another egotistical old dude.
Well, first he hits on the doctor, the Vulcan doctor.
Oh, jeez, yeah. Oh, you know what my grandpa always said. It's okay to swim in the Green River, just don't go a-drinking from it. Oh, God. That was the sound clip that I just played, actually.
Yeah. Straight from the horse's mouth right there. No, the nice thing about that, too, is the Vulcan woman was just, like, brushed it off, like, really nicely. And then Troy, like, lets him kiss her hand.
Oh, I know.
And I'm like, oh, that is disgusting. He did not ask permission.
Worf should have fucking, like...
grabs her hand and starts making out with it.
I just decked him in the face at that point. Yeah.
It was gross.
I did notice one small thing. He calls Worf Mr. Klingon, which must have been written by the same guy who named Mr. Comedian a couple episodes ago.
And then Corinne is like, so are you a Romulan? And I'm surprised Worf didn't just like rip her head off right there. She doesn't know any alien races, what they look like. He's obviously not... This is kind of even grosser now that I start talking about it, because he's obviously not been giving her any information. Like, they have computers. She could have pictures, learn about other races. Nope. He's just been keeping her isolated on this planet so she can be his little, like, imagination.
He literally says, like, she only knows what I've taught her or something.
Right. It's pretty gross.
The contours of my penis.
Yuck.
Oh, don't.
No, he didn't. That's a whole plot point.
She's not into it.
But she is.
Not him.
Yeah, she is.
She kind of says, like,
if the circumstances were 100% different, I would be into it. That's what she says.
She said,
if the situation was not at all like what it is, then I would be into it.
Maybe.
She says she has some attraction for him.
If only he was 50 years younger, I'd be into him, is basically what she said.
Okay, yeah, maybe. It's true. And also, I mean, that's what she says.
And he's an asshole.
Also, she was raised by him, which could count as, like, Stockholm Syndrome or something, he hasn't allowed her to have any outside contact with anyone. She had to send out a distress signal that doesn't even have a way for her to contact a person other than, I'm here, come find me.
But so it turns out Graves has Darnay's disease. A callback. And he's going to be dead soon, so... Him and Data go off and have a lot of bonding time.
I was so happy that he was dying.
I like that he's like, doctors are always attacking me from the rear.
I know.
I'm like, what?
Always.
Right in the butt.
How often?
Data starts calling him Grandpa. We get our
so weird.
What I'm guessing is our first of many Tin Man references to Data.
When he gives him the speech to Data, this is when I realized that I wished he was played by Bryan Cranston. There was a point where he had this speech, and I was like, I could picture, like, current day Cranston playing him.
Well, and then we come back out, and apparently all the ladies and Worf, I wonder what these guys, I think they say they've been there for a few days.
They say something that they've been on the planet for a few days. Are we totally glossing over, like, his pity speech and all that, too?
Well, because they intercut that with this scene where Troy talks to Corinne.
Oh, right.
His feelings towards you are very warm. He's attracted to you in many ways.
How many ways?
Attracted?
Troy, stop bringing up this shit about people in, like, totally inappropriate situations.
Yeah.
Yeah, what if you were the daughter or adopted daughter of a guy, and then somebody came up and was like, you know he's attracted to you, right?
Yeah.
You know how fucking creepy that would be?
Well, other people are around. Right. Listening. Troy, I know you're still trying to find your place on the ship, but just because you know things about people doesn't mean you have to lord it over them all the time. She's totally like Amy and Gary. Remember Amy and Gary? She is like pulling an Amy being like, I don't have a lot to do with this job, but I gossip and I know things about people. I'm going to lord it over them. I'm going to drop that info whenever I can.
I really like gossip.
I do too.
I like hearing it. I don't think I share it that much, but sometimes. And usually it's because I'm like, ooh, people will like me if I have something to tell them.
Here's the thing. If you want to keep a secret around me, you have to swear me to complete and utter silence before telling me. Because, like, if you're not saying this is a secret, I'm going to tell other people about it.
Hey, Marcy, tell me your secret. tell me one of your secrets.
People don't tell me secrets because I can't keep a secret.
When you tell someone a secret, do you assume that they will or they won't tell their significant other?
I assume
if I tell one person in a serious relationship, I assume it's going to go to the other person.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Because I do that.
You have to be clear. Mm-hmm. Like, if you say, don't tell anyone else this, I won't tell anyone else that.
I respect wishes.
Yeah.
But you got to make that clear.
Yeah. I mean, you got to sign exactly, on the dotted. Exactly. Because this is not like, if you have loved ones that know each other, friends that know each other, and something is going on in your life that other people need to know, mm-hmm. we're going to tell other people.
And then plus, after like 20 years of marriage, like, you need stuff to talk about. So if you have something you can bring up at the dinner table.
And it strengthens your relationship when you, you know, open up about somebody else's secret.
Well, that's the love of being in a long-term relationship, because there's just moments when you're like, I can only be this way with this person because, you know, I think you're more mean to other people with that because, you know, it's never going anywhere but between you two. So I guess I shouldn't admit that online, but but it's true. It's like you say things that you would never say in the presence of anyone else except that person.
When Troy says he's attracted to her in many ways, I can only think of three. Well, how many other ways are there besides physically, emotionally, and mentally?
Intellectually?
He doesn't seem to be intellectually attracted to her.
Am I just being dumb? How many? That fetishes? Doesn't seem like many to me. I was just wondering how many other ways.
He might be attracted to her.
Literally?
To her left breast and her right breast.
Oh, I don't think he meant it. Like, he's attracted to you in many different parts of your individual body.
I know. It is weird. Like, what other ways are there to be attracted to a person? Thanks for calling her out there.
He's attracted to you in many ways.
They make a moment about, I think you said he pities him. He pities that he won't know desire. He'll never know true desire. And Data says, like, he doesn't know desire. Do you think the writers are saying he doesn't know desire? Because literally later, Geordi says, he wants to be human so much he can taste it. Like, Data knows what it means to want something.
Yeah.
Well, that's the hard thing with this, right? Because he doesn't have emotions, which means he can't experience any kind of human emotion. Mm-hmm. He can imitate it, and he wants.
But he wants to imitate it. He wants to feel emotion. Right. And is that not an emotion in itself?
Right. I mean, it is.
I mean,
and so it's hard for us as humans to imagine what it would be to have motivation without emotional reasons behind it, right?
I mean, Data obviously has emotions. He says things with an emotional way that's more than imitation at times. I think he just doesn't have fully developed.
No, he doesn't have emotions.
He doesn't have emotions?
He's programmed to imitate what humans are like. I mean,
two episodes ago, he was disappointed that people were laughing at him. If he didn't have emotions, he wouldn't have cared that the
I understand that it appears as if he has emotions. But it's just a computer, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're supposed to assume.
But what we learn from this, the big takeaway from this episode, I think, is that we learn that Data, with all of his circuitry, everything that's inside of him, can feel all these emotions. Graves doesn't possess him in some spiritual way. He downloads his consciousness, his brain pattern, into Data and can still feel love and desire and jealousy and hate and anger and regret. So obviously Data is capable of these emotions. The other thing we learned that's kind of interesting is that he's equally as old as Wesley, chronologically the same age, which is something slightly I hadn't thought about. Yeah, he's about 15 years old, Data. So even though he was born with all this knowledge, he's only been developing these characteristics for 15 years.
I'm running off of knowledge of other things.
Sure.
So, I mean,
this is what the writers have presented to us thus far.
Sure, you're right that it seems as if he could have these emotions.
Marcy says he has no emotions. Cameron says he has emotions. I'm going to go right down the middle and say there's only a couple emotions, and one of them is definitely horny in that episode with Tasha Yar. That's the only one I believed.
Well, that's another 100%. Point when he had acted as if he had emotions.
Yeah.
And it is hard. I mean, because later he can't do it unless he gets a very specific thing. You've seen it in the movies,
so the motion chip.
So it's sort of like,
I think they're there. The emotion chip maybe lets him access it. I think for the past 15 years, he's just been developing how his circuits access the emotions.
Yeah, I mean, he's writing programming to make it seem like he's more human in his own, you know, brain, his positronic brain.
I believe he has desire. I believe he has confusion. Is that an emotion?
Yeah.
He's sure. Often confused when he doesn't, like, it doesn't compute. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard. I don't have an answer on this one. But in general, that speech that he gives Data would have connected more to me if he was like, trying to convince Data or convince the audience that Data having no soul made him lesser. But God, coming from like your alternative is being you, I don't feel pity for Data at all because it's coming from this guy I really hate.
Well, and then that's where you realize that even with all his like weird mannerisms, all those things make up Data, and he is
That's what Picard says being. Later. Yeah,
and so you know that you've taken that away from him is wrong. It's just like, how are we defining what is human and what isn't? And that's a big part of his journey.
I think
you know?
That's the one good thing, not the one thing, but one of the good things this episode does is it does kind of bring into, even though it's not a Data episode really, because Data's not in it that much. It's a great Brent Spiner episode, but it is kind of about Data, and we learn all this about Data, or at least are presented with these things to think about Data's nature.
And Graves starts singing or whistling, "If I Only Had a Heart."
Now we've got to pay royalties, Marcy.
Oh, damn it.
No, you got a certain amount of time.
So I like that. A
couple bars.
So no small amount of ink has been spilled about how Star Trek is a pro-science show. It has a positive look at the future of technology. There's no killer robots or mind controlling the masses. Many people have become scientists because of Star Trek. And yet, in the last season and change that we've seen, the writers did not seem to have a high opinion of scientists. We've had no small amount of mad, crazy scientists. We've had Dr. Soon, who's created, well, a killer robot. You got terraformers about to bulldoze new life forms. You got chrono scientists just rending holes in the fabric of space-time willy-nilly. And now this guy, he's constructing an unholy bridge between man and machine.
I don't know about that.
That's what they say later. Picard says that.
I know, but Picard isn't necessarily right about that.
But he's playing God, and he uses that technology to do something immoral. And it just kind of seems weird. And then also, like,
plasma viruses.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Wait, was that created by probably a mad scientist?
Who invented the puppy ships from earlier we talked about?
Those that was you, Rob.
Yeah, those are good. That's a good science. That's a good science. I'm a good scientist.
No, you created the puppy sheeps to carry the viruses.
Oh, well, we had it, that was an idea. We could have put it on there if they had to.
Although the characters in the show, they don't have a problem with them. Like, they're saying nice things about Graves the whole time. They let those chronomancers continue their chronomancy.
Maybe this disease has made him the worst. Maybe he was fine before that. I don't know.
I also feel like they have respect for people who have big scientific discoveries, right? Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't matter if you're a douche. And that's the way it is in real life, too. You could be a total asshole.
That's true.
But if you've come up with Google, go you for it. Apple.
Cure cancer. You can kick people in the vaginas all day long.
You can make out with somebody's hand without permission.
That's right.
Call a woman not a person, but just a woman for his penis.
Did I miss what were Graves' contributions to Star Trek
Universe? He's been working on building a bridge between man and machine. That's all they say.
Well, he's well esteemed, but I'd like to know what he's done.
Molecular cybernetics.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
If some genius scientist wants to go take a small band of scientists and live on a planet all by themselves, maybe check in on those fuckers every once in a while because they're probably up to no good.
Hey, man, it's open sea, man. He's out at the...
Exactly.
He's drinking a Mai Tai.
Starting a casino. Like, he's out. He's got his own sea land.
I don't know. You're right. I think it doesn't seem like they have enough oversight over all these things that are very dangerous and are killing people. Mm-hmm.
It's telegraphed to the audience right away that he's taken Data's body, and I don't know if it's supposed to be a secret to us, the audience, or not. It seems like maybe the big reveal is later when he whistles the song again, but it's
that's what it feels
so
like.
That's obvious. I wish they had just shown him taking Data's body. Maybe that would have made him even more unlikable, watching him actually do a physical act of love.
Yeah. I'm going to hypnotize you so you can go back to 9-year-old Rob. Was 9-year-old Rob fooled?
See, that's the problem. Let me go into my trance. Yes, 9-year-old Rob was a fucking idiot.
You look like Data when you're checking your subsystems.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like he didn't even try to hide it, though. Like, there's no like subtlety at all. He was just like, I'm me. I'm just gonna wander around, kind of
brilliant
pretend
fucking
I'm Data,
scientist.
But...
I thought
he was gonna
start groping immediately. Just like, grope, 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 grope.
Well, I was just gonna say, like, the scene where he, like, walks out of the turbo lift and he's like, oh, yeah, like, looks at the girl's butt and then he starts whistling, "If I Only Had a Heart." Mm-hmm. I was like, Gross, gross, gross. You are gross. You're the most disgusting human being ever. But that's what makes it so terrible that he's in poor Data's body, because, like, and thankfully Data doesn't, he has PTSD and doesn't remember any of it. But like you said, there's, like, no redeeming qualities about this man. And that's what kind of made it fun for me. It wasn't that aspect of the show, like, him being this asshole. Mm-hmm. It was... everyone else was actually, like, finally competent at their job, and, like, yeah, Picard got to do some interesting things. Troy got to do some interesting things. Wesley got to have, like, kind of a fun conversation.
If they were competent, though, they would have noticed immediately.
Well, but...
didn't they know that this guy was studying how to combine humans and computers? Like,
he could have pretended to be Data a little bit better for a little bit longer, and then they would have had a reason to not notice right away.
What is he wearing in the funeral tube? Like a chainmail condom?
Yeah, it's strange. Is that the same tube that they shoot Spock into space with?
It looks similar. It's definitely the same.
Kind of reminds me of that Indiana tradition. Jones and the Last Crusade character. That's like...
he chose poorly.
The lighting sort of hides part of the white part of his beard, which gave him like a sort of a corn, like the band corn, like goatee, like long. Like, I don't know.
I noticed that too.
So, yeah, it's basically Graves giving his own eulogy, mm-hmm. which is really terrible and arrogant and obnoxious. And I don't... it is funny that Wesley's like, that was amazing!
Well, why was Riker and especially Wesley there in the first place? Hey, like, who's running the bridge right now? Everyone is down here. What if they run into a giant...
their mission is done. I mean, he's dead, so...
well, they're taking Corrine back to...
yeah, but like...
they're just on the road.
Why do you need the captain of
the... why does Riker have to be there? If he's not on the bridge, he probably would rather be in the holodeck. Because like,
Troy's there,
Oh, that's true. Okay. Why is Wesley there?
That's true.
Wesley's there so that he can give this amazing...
That was a great speech, Data. To know him is to love him is to know him.
This is like the most 13-year-old
thing. Verbal composition at its most sophisticated level.
Most sophisticated.
This Your heck. Childlike mind cannot appreciate the time-worn wisdom of my words.
Do you like that right?
Childlike mind?
Yeah.
Like when you get to be my age, you will understand.
Your age? Data, chronologically, you're not much older than I am.
To love him is to know him is to love him is to... it's not... that's not good speech writing.
Yeah, and I don't know
So, like, he's impressed, and also the guy thinks that it's... oh, that's wisdom, man. That's not some hack job from, like...
Let's not skip over the super awesome coffin and space shot, though.
Yeah.
That was highlight of the episode.
Really? Don't even have memory of it.
It's just like, it is a pretty short... I think I only noticed the second time through, and I thought there should be a sequel, even though I didn't like this episode. I think there should be a sequel episode, The Search for Dr. Graves.
Well, it was very similar to the Forbidden Zone shot in the first Superman, so the sequel could be that coming back.
Forbidden Zone or the...
That's the prison that Zod is trapped in, right?
I thought it was called the Forbidden Zone.
The Forbidden... oh, I am...
hey, guys. What's
here? Forbidden Zone's that weird Danny Elfman
movie. No, I know. You're right. Yes. Oh, this is what I wanted to talk about, though, because Picard and Troy do take a little walk and talk through the corridor. Mm-hmm. And they're strolling down. I don't even remember what they're talking about because I was so focused on the extras who have to, like, squeeze by them on the side. Like, they're trying to hide it, but I just love the idea that, like, Picard and Troy just walk down the corridor and, like, dicks out. And, yeah, they don't even move for anyone else coming down. They all have to, like, sidestep along the wall.
Phantom Zone.
Okay.
Phantom Zone.
They had to Google.
Thank you.
Superman Zod is trapped in search. I'm not the first one to type that weird series of words.
Picard brings Corrine on the bridge, and that's when Greta starts really showing his hand. And Rob, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to disappoint you here.
God damn it.
This is where we learn that the bridge really echoes, and there's no such thing as a stage whisper on the bridge. Because Data does one of his little asides to himself or Wesley, and Picard hears him no matter where he's at on the bridge. What was that, Mr. Data?
Well, Data doesn't know how to stage whisper. He doesn't have volume control on his...
He doesn't have the stage whisper chip yet.
Yeah, but usually people are saying important things, mm-hmm. and so when they're kind of being like a douche and asiding, you're like, hey... what are you doing? I'm the captain. Don't talk
that's
shit.
That's what I think Picard would normally be doing. Yeah. But like, I remember Geordi and Data would always be like, ugly Ferengis, huh?
This is a moment.
He's on the screen.
This is one of the few moments where Picard is not sundowning, and he's actually he's on an up.
Yeah, he's
up
on top of it this episode. Right.
This was a good Picard episode too.
Oh yeah. My god, that's why maybe I liked it.
Is this before or after he makes his Regalian ox callback?
I think that's in the next scene when Picard pulls him into the principal's office.
Nobody who was actually there to hear him say Regalian ox was in that.
That's
room.
Just for the audience. Yeah. That's just the writers being like, "Oh god, we're so clever."
Yeah, just in case some audience members haven't figured it out yet.
And then we'll have him whistle the song again. So that brings up our question, which we had reached out to on social media, and some of you answered, is if you were impersonating someone's body, what would be your giveaway trait?
I didn't come up with a good answer. I would like...
We'll take bad answers.
Like, if I'm in another body and they're like, why is that guy always playing that Toon Blast game on his phone?
Well, everybody always tells me they like my laugh, so maybe it would be my hilarious cackle that everybody recognizes.
That's definitely one that we would spot. I think if you saw someone who's normally a pretty sharp dresser start walking around with their t-shirts tucked under their pants, high probability they've been possessed by Cameron.
So if your friend suddenly starts dressing like they're from the 1980s...
I think people would also look at whoever's body I was in and like, why is that guy still listening to 90s ska music? What is his problem?
Well, we had some good answers on Facebook as well from people.
A friend of the show, John, says a complete lack of interest in wearing pants while relaxing at home in the evening. So that's not
I'd
bad.
Say that, but it could also go for me too, John.
Yeah,
so.
Me too.
We had someone said they would tell it was her because she would always start cussing over very small and minor problems.
And then Rob, who you actually heard last season.
Not,
he was
no relation.
Different Rob.
Rob M.
Yeah. He said that if you heard anybody talk about the 21st century movie Prometheus constantly, then it would be him. And I said this one because he and I are always butting heads because he's always wanting to talk about it and I'm always shutting it down.
Water jams.
About Prometheus.
Oh, so then he's asked to check his circuits. Oh, I'm going to just check my own circuits. Oh, yep, I'm fine.
Like, it's like Trump saying, like, oh, let me go around and ask people if they're being corrupt. Nope, yep, we're all good up here.
We're all good.
Swamp strained.
And he's so petulant. It's like...
Are we still talking about Donald Trump? Or...
Oh,
bingo. Bingo. Topical.
And this is also kind of a good Troy... section, I feel like, where doesn't she feel emotions from him finally?
She can't read emotions from
Data. Yeah, she does. She can tell that he's, where was it?
Jealous.
That? Jealous.
Yes. Yes. Well, I can read emotions. Like, she was shocked that she could read emotions from Data.
Yeah, it was a very specific scene.
Yes.
Oh, really? Yeah. I just thought it was her saying the obvious thing that we all saw. I was like, oh, he's obviously being jealous.
No, she goes, I'm feeling jealousy from him,
Data.
Basically.
And she's
I missed that.
Yeah, so that's why she ends up doing all the...
So maybe it was more of a spiritual possession, if she can...
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting because what is it that makes it possible for her to feel those emotions? Is it just that he has a human consciousness in him? Mm. And then maybe just because he...
We sure do ask a lot of unanswerable questions.
You're welcome, Rob. Well, but can we talk about these images that Troy is using on
Sure,
Data?
Let's talk about when we see Tasha.
I know. I was like, what are all these choices? Like,
still frames from the TV show.
Yeah. Well,
it's so weird.
I wonder if they actually went through and were like, these are important things that we want to show. And like some of them were obviously old Data and some of them were Graves. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like interesting.
I think she suspected, so she did both because she suspected he was.
I did, feel like everyone was suspected very early on. Picard said something earlier that made me think he was tipped off.
But I did like that Tasha was in there.
Mm-hmm. I thought you would.
Well, there's so many weird, like, where do they get these photos of these scenes from the TV show? Just like, not quite.
Like, really low res.
Yeah, and like weird angles that were. Not, I don't know, where it just...
Yeah, no. The shows do that all the time, where they just use footage of the show as, like, in-world footage. And I'm like, yeah, there's no way the camera would be right there that they could have got that from. Because the Enterprise is just always watching.
Right.
And this was after they've scanned Data with that cool blue Halo-looking thing, yeah?
Someone needs to talk about that. I don't know what to say, but I didn't like it. Uh-huh. I didn't like it.
That was funny.
His blue scanner? Halo-y. I thought it was fun.
That was kind of funny, too. And he's not holding still for it.
Yeah.
Hold still, Data.
Yeah, like Donald Trump would.
Williams is basically a Donald Trump.
That's what I'm thinking now. Sorry, yeah. That's what I've become convinced of.
Yeah. Megalomaniac, for sure.
Also super smart. The smartest there is. He can his own brain into put my brain in a robot.
I wrote down, Troy gives Greta a head test, but when I was just now reading it, I just read, Troy gives Greta head. I was like, when was that?
No thanks.
I do remember seeing this really weird cut scene with that actor where they're like, they were going to commercial and they were talking about how he was going to die. It was, I think, the reveal of the Darnay's disease or whatever. And then he was just like, had this really weird, like, half smile on his face as they were cutting away. And I was like, what?
Those how weird beats before commercial cuts are so good.
Yeah, it's so strange.
So we've talked about accents in this series. More Alex brought it up a lot last season. But we haven't really touched on Troy's accent much.
She has an accent.
She uses a voice. And I've read in forums that people hate it and were very glad when she stopped using it. It never bothered me, but the last few episodes it's kind of been... Is it getting stronger? It sounds like...
I thought it was getting weaker.
Really? This episode is just like, it sounds like if you try to eat a piece of candy behind your kid's back and then your kid calls you on it and you're like, what candy? I don't know what you're talking about.
That's what she sounds like.
That's what she sounds like all the time. It is.
I don't know. I don't know what that
is. I have not noticed any kind of accent.
Really?
I'm just...
Now you're not going to be able to unhear it.
No,
I
feel like I'm so immersed in Star Trek.
It's what she's saying,
that's
not
what
how
she
says it.
Is.
I always liked it because I'm like, well, at least they're trying to make her not human with it. But yeah, it's just... She just sounds like she's got something on her tongue now. Yeah, just me. I do like that Picard sends Worf on a second cock-blocking mission.
Lieutenant Worf, will you go to 10 forward and keep an eye on Data?
Because Greta's down there hitting on Corrine, revealing his big plan to her.
It's so gross. Like, every time he starts talking to her, I'm like, go away, you creepy old... gross, icky man who raised this poor girl in isolation, and now you're trying to make her feel guilty for not returning your creepy old man love? Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Well, I think I know where you're going to fall on this, the answer to this question then, but Greta does say this to his lady love.
There is no need to worry. I will create an android body for you too. We can witness the end of time together.
Is that a good pickup line or a bad pickup line?
Well, yeah, sure, make me forever, but
we
I'm not going to
witness the end
gonna
of time together.
You.
That's a decent line.
It's not.
I'd drop my panties for it.
Hmm. Oh, well, to get the android body and living forever, and then I'd be like, I'm outie!
fair.
Creepy.
I do kind of like how Greta is very similar to Lore. Brent Spiner kind of has the same mannerisms when he plays evil.
Sure.
Well, it is interesting that you can bring that up because I did read that there were two different stories that they brought together
every
to make
time.
This one. And
one was about Data's beard.
And the other involved people being stuck in the wall. It was a horror planet that they beamed down to.
One was basically...
That went nowhere, being stuck in the... I'm sorry to bring it back, but...
It was a point of humor. It was just a little joke.
No, what did it even mean? Why was she stuck in the wall momentarily? And why did it not look different to us? And
when you beam down at that speed, then you don't beam down in one spot. You beam down briefly.
Also, could the Enterprise not just wait 30 seconds to beam them down? It was already taking them, like, a fair amount of time to get to the Constantinople. Okay, I'm sorry, Marcy, you had something much more...
No, never mind. It's
to good. The point to talk about.
I don't need to talk about that. No, so the one storyline was basically the Graves storyline, but everybody knew he was going to download his consciousness into Data. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, which I thought was kind of interesting, was this storyline about a woman coming onto the Enterprise who was from the original colony that Data was from. Mm-hmm. And... two of the colonists from the planet that had downloaded their memories into Data come forth because there was like this love triangle between them and this woman.
Oh, like within Data.
Within
they come
Data.
Forth? Okay.
So he has like two personalities in him warring over this one woman. So they just kind of melded them together.
And then we get the best Picard moment.
He was working on bridging the gap between man and machine.
Seems he built that bridge. I may be forced to tear it down.
Whoa. Huh,
yeah! graphic card versus Greta.
No, oh boy.
Well, that's pretty badass. You just ruined that for me though, because I actually really felt that like level of intensity.
That's what I mean.
But that's a dumb song. Like that doesn't fit Picard at all.
I mean, yeah, you should have gone. Y'all ready for this?
It needs to be like something with a lot of orchestral in it, you know? Like
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, no shit. Howard Shore shit up in here. Yeah, exactly.
I was going for the laughs, Marcy, and I got them. No. I got those laughs.
No, when you watch this, do not think of that dumb song. You think of, like, Lord of the Rings shit. You think of Gandalf
getting down his staff. I'm going to use the Mortal Kombat theme at least twice a season from now on.
I wish that that line had stuck with me at all, but I was totally checked out by this point.
It wasn't that line. It was like everything that builds from that moment. I was like, oh yeah. I mean, I was so into it.
It was basically Picard saying, fuck this guy. He's not taking my friend from
me. Exactly. This is the Picard we know from like season 3 on. Like although, right here, he shows up.
Although then he goes down there and gets his ass kicked.
Yeah, in a really embarrassing way.
He does. No! You can't deny it.
His slap fall is pretty bad.
Shut up!
It was a fatality on Picard.
No, but that moment, like, there's Mortal so many good moments.
It's a good scene. So we go down to the engine room and we get like an awesome, like, emo Greta scene. He's all moody up there. I also love that line, like, I wouldn't come up here, Picard. You might not like what you see.
Warriors, come out and play.
And then what do they see? Another super surprise.
Geordi is dead.
Geordi is dead. On the ground.
Oh, I'm not a violent man.
I was like, no, Geordi.
And apparently someone else. They never show, like, I think in the background you can see that there's another crew member up there, too.
And yeah, he says there's two.
A couple of people.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know when there's Picard
two.
Was like.
Picard says there's two.
There's two bodies. I was like, is he talking about himself? Is he going to get himself hurt on purpose?
That's what I thought for a second.
I thought that was like some fucking Jedi chest.
And we kind of glossed over, he like, when she rejects him, he like breaks her hand. But anyway, like, they slowly raise up and Geordi's on the floor.
He's on the floor.
And I'm like, what is this? Is it?
That elevator's definitely gone through some improvement since the first pilot
but it's
episode.
Pretty slow.
It's still pretty slow. And I know, just wait, Greta. I'm coming for you.
I know Greta's supposed to be in denial, but I mean, he's looking at a man he just knocked out when he says, I'm not a violent man. And like, duh, yeah.
But this is my big problem with the episode.
Well, can we hear the speech?
Can we hear the Mortal Kombat theme one more time?
You didn't tell me to download the speech.
Damn it.
Can you play the Mortal Kombat song again?
I can't play the speech. Yes.
No.
I'm going to play the whole thing.
So Picard gives this amazing, like, speech that's got some amazing music.
This scene is very good. I love the acting and the writing, the lighting.
I was like, this is my baby Picard. He's like coming free. His wings are flying. And then what happens?
Then he flies too close to the sun. And Greta just bitch slaps him.
Bitch slaps.
Oh man!
And he falls to the ground and he gets knocked out. And that's all.
I mean, it's not good, but it's good. I was invested in the scene. I do not buy Greta's mea culpa when he's like, how many more have to, like, he didn't even kill anyone. How many more people do I have to knock out for a couple hours for me to live forever? He doesn't, Graves does not give a shit about that.
This is, again, the problem with this show.
Like, if he had killed Kareem, I would have bought it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
or if he blasted a chorus of three people down to the bones.
Oh, yeah.
That was sweet.
Well, I just feel like, again, the episode takes too long to get to the points that are really good, and then they totally screw the endings every time. And I was like, you had Picard in this moment that I was so like, yes. And then it was like,
I was going to say it was going to be like a rare occurrence of like an episode that is kind of so-so on and then really like the end. Because again, I love the scene with Picard, but then the actual twist to the end, the turn.
It's not
to
even
the
a twist. He's just like, I guess I give up. Sort of like Moriarty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But seeing Picard this episode, I guess that's all I need to be satisfied, because I haven't seen anything that, like, I was like, yes, this is Star Trek until this episode.
Okay. Hmm. Well, let's talk about the end.
Oh, look, there's a computer window with a bunch of words on it. It must be Dr. Graves, she says.
Yeah, apparently Graves decides to basically sacrifice himself.
Right. He should have had a speech like the speech he gave to Data the first time, they should have mirrored that with a speech where he realizes that Data does
there should have been
value.
Like a Gollum scene where he talked to himself. That could have been cool.
That would have been really cool.
Well, I've kind of been waiting for that this whole episode because Troy discovers that he has two personalities inside of him. But not once since he got on the ship was it anyone but Graves.
Yeah, and Data doesn't remember any of it when he wakes up.
Spiner would have eaten that up.
Yeah.
Spiner would have done a total Gollum, man.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever done something that you don't remember and you had to be told about it after the fact?
No.
If it's super dark, you don't have to talk about it.
But. I feel like Alex and I have had moments in our relationships where we weren't friends and then we were friends again.
Mm-hmm.
And he describes things that I'm like, I don't even remember that. And he held on to those moments. And same with me where I'm like, well, you said this. And he's like, I don't remember doing that. And so we hold on. Like, I feel like when you have an interaction with somebody that's more important to you than it is to the other person, they remember specific things that you said. And you're like, that wasn't in a moment that I felt like it was significant. And they do.
My wife and I remember one specific thing differently. That's our 14-year-old Chihuahua was my friend Corey was moving. And I remember her giving us the dog to take care of. And my wife remembers her loaning us the dog for until she came back. And that's like a big, I'm like, I thought it was just our dog now. And apparently we totally remember that in 100 like different ways.
But I do have this story from when I was in high school or like maybe even junior high. It was one of my birthdays. I had some friends over spending the night. We were watching movies and most of us had fallen asleep. Apparently something happened when we were sleeping, which Rob M, who we spoke of earlier, told me about later. I can't really do the story justice, so let's hear it from the werewolf's mouth himself.
Whoa.
So I'm sitting in a lazy boy. It's dark. The entire house is dark. Behind me is a large plate glass window, and behind that, more darkness. The only thing that illuminates the entire house is Time Cop on Cameron's large screen TV. To my left, on the floor, Andrew lies sleeping. He's been asleep for well over an hour. To my right, Cameron is sprawled out comfortably on his couch. He, too, has been asleep, at least for 45 minutes. It is my curse to stay awake till the end of the film. As I'm watching, barely engaged, suddenly I notice Cam's eyes slam open, and I look over in alarm as his mouth starts to move and strange words come pouring out. I can tell he desperately wants to communicate something to me, his eyes pleading, his mouth moving so fast. The language coming out of his mouth is none I have ever heard.
I don't remember any of this.
Just as soon as it starts, it stops. I shake Cameron, trying to wake him up. He doesn't budge. He's dead to the world. And as I'm shaking him on my knees by the couch, Andrew lurches to life. He lumbers forward and turns off the television, and I'm immersed in complete darkness. In a frantic panic, I crawl over, pushing every button I can find on that huge, strange alien television. And finally, Jean-Claude Van Damme comes back, my savior. I sit back in the chair, that large window to my back. I do not sleep, even as the credits roll.
Yeah, I didn't remember any of this when he told us about it the next day.
That's pretty good. Now, that's Rob. That's not me, though, right?
You don't remember recording that?
I get very confused.
No, Chinese puzzle box of memories.
I feel like Rob Michaud story time should become our regular.
That was pretty good. A+. I liked it.
Well, that's how we would rate Rob's story. How are we going to rate the episode?
Oh, we're going to rate it in the number of minutes you could give your own eulogy before Captain Picard kicks you interrupts your fucking ass. So if you can go a whole 10 minutes. So we want 1 minute to 10 minutes. The longer you can go, the better. But, I mean, not the better for me, but the better you like, the more you like the show. I'm going to eulogize myself for 2 whole minutes.
Wow! That's the lowest one we've heard yet.
I don't want to watch this episode again.
Okay.
I didn't like the guy. He didn't. There was no arc. He had no arc. The character was like a miserable fuck the whole time and never learned anything except in a scene that we didn't see where he committed suicide for no good reason by putting his brain into a computer.
By hurting people that we didn't see happen.
Right. Basically, all the good stuff was off screen. And I just hated that guy so much. I think he's Donald Trump.
That's fair. I'm going to say, I don't know, 6 might be a little high, 5 might be a little low. 5.5 minutes I'm going to eulogize myself. Verbally masturbate.
You don't have to, you know, you can...
5 minutes and 35 seconds.
Perfect.
Well, I've already talked about why I liked it, and it wasn't at all because of the guy that was in it, because I totally ignored everything about him. I think I would eulogize myself for 7 minutes.
Ooh.
This is the highest one I've given.
This is the biggest spread we've had,
too. And it's because of Picard finally feeling like the captain that I felt like he's been for my whole life.
Mortal combating it
and
up.
And, like, the investigation and Troy actually, like, doing some, like, counselor mental health stuff. And it was all about the side characters.
So you just have to ignore the 32 minutes that had that guy in it.
But, like, I love all the side characters. And I guess that's, like, my thing is I really enjoy, like, I loved the Vulcan. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved every single person around this horrible individual. And maybe that's what made it good, is that those people could shine because he was such a horrible, horrible person, right?
He acted as a foil for them.
I mean, I guess I should give it less because of that terrible, like, it, like, could have been great, mm-hmm. but was stupid ending. But I can't because of beautiful Picard. And I can't wait till more of his episodes that you see where he's, like, doing his Patrick Stewart beautiful acting. Oh, I just can't wait for it.
I can't wait for him to do those things in an episode that's any good. You guys familiar with body swap movies? Movies and television shows?
Oh, yes.
Where people swap bodies?
I think we just watched one.
I'm going to give you guys a quiz. I'm just going to say the questions. You can just chime in whenever if you have the answer.
Okay.
I switched bodies, but I also switched it's the actor's other roles. So I switched actor's roles. This is really hard to describe. I'll give you an example. Good friends Michael Bluth and Wade Wilson find the roles reversed when they both pee on a banana stand behind a pizza place. So these are two actors that are in a body switch movie, but I'm using their roles from other movies.
Ryan Reynolds.
I'm body switching twice.
And Jason Bateman were in a body switching movie?
Yeah, actually, this is a hard one because the body switching movie in question is probably not well
They're
known
in one together where they're body switching?
Oh, yeah. They pee in a fountain together. Okay. Jason Bateman is a button-down family man, and Ryan Reynolds is a
wild party dude,
and they pee in a fountain together, wishing, you know, they're out at a party.
Oh, a party. My goodness.
This was like a really bad movie that no one talked about after it came
exactly.
out.
Exactly. I probably should have started
almost
with it.
Half of Ryan Reynolds' movies.
The Change Up. It's The Change Up.
That Change Up. Is it The Change Up?
It is The Change Up. Oh, okay. I should not have started with that one. Let's move on.
That was a deep cut. Good
that
job.
Was, yeah, okay.
A young student, Vinnie Barbarino, enters a disco dance contest where he ends up doing the twist at Jackrabbit Slim's, a local diner. H.I. McDonough has left Las Vegas and finds himself skydiving with a gaggle of Elvis impersonators, ends up crashing through the ceiling and into the dancers. In a surgical mix-up in the ensuing chaos, they accidentally end up with each other's faces.
Oh, okay.
Face-off? So John Travolta.
Face-off, yeah. See, not less a body swap.
A face-off.
And somehow their whole physique as well.
I think it's all explained. Here's the third one. Lloyd Dobler is a grifter / hitman attending his high school reunion. He discovers a small door on the 7.5 floor and finds himself in the body of a convict being transported by an airplane. He also finds himself in the line of fire as he tries to escape.
Wait. See, it's very tricky.
Lloyd Dobler is a grifter / hitman. He's at his high school reunion. He goes into a small door on the 7.5 floor.
Well, these are just all John Cusack movies.
Yeah.
And being John Malkovich.
It's being John Malkovich. It's the movie.
Oh, they do. You're right.
It's the movie where John Cusack body switches into John Malkovich.
Oh.
That's true.
Here's another deep cut. This male gigolo is making copies when suddenly he finds himself in the body of a mean girl who asks him to copy her The Notebook.
Gosling?
It's the white chick, right?
No, that's white chicks. No.
It's the... I know...
She's
I
not
see,
white,
I
but
can
she
see the
is...
Poster. She's not
she's
white.
Not she's cold.
Black. She's hot?
She's the
hot
chick.
Hot chick, okay.
It's Rob Schneider swaps bodies with Rachel McAdam.
Oh, I haven't seen that piece of crap either.
I saw the preview enough times.
Oh, I've never seen that one.
Hot chicks.
Two more. A drunk millionaire, Arthur, and his son, Mike Seaver, drink a magical potion and release a mysterious power. This magic body swap is an affront to God and leaves them left behind when the rapture comes.
Like father, like son?
That's correct.
Hey.
It's the Dudley Moore switches bodies with Kirk Cameron.
Oh.
Kirk Cameron. This one shouldn't be too bad. On Halloween, This mom trades places with her mean girl daughter and ends up crashing her sentient Volkswagen when she struggles with alcoholism, which is not from character. It's a real life thing.
You say freaky.
Freaky Friday.
I say Friday.
Yay. Yeah, I tried to do one for Tom Hanks in Big, but who knows what that kid, who knows what that kid was in. Well, thank you guys. Good job.
Do you have good a job, Rob. That was a great quiz.
That's kind of fun. Well, question for the audience. How long would you go ahead and go on the Facebook page and eulogize yourself as long as you can. See how many paragraphs you can go on and on before we kick you off our Facebook group.
But do come by. It's www.facebook.com/greenshirt or at greenshirt87. We're also on iTunes. If you like us and review us there, more people hear about us and hopefully listen.
All right. So, Cam, the next episode is Unnatural Selection.
Selection. Okay. They're probably visiting like a mining colony. And some
it's
like
always a mining colony.
It's always a mining colony. They're at some like heavy metal bar there with Worf and they're listening to some AC/DC or whatever's on the jukebox, and someone comes up and makes a selection on the jukebox, and like the Jonas Brothers starts playing, and Worf goes, selection is unnatural.
You think they used the titular line in the episode?
Yeah. They name drop the episode title, and like the whole episode is just them trying to calm Worf down from a blood rage from listening to the Jonas Brothers.
He rips the jukebox out of the wall and destroys the person who
he eats their flesh.
And then they have the rest of the episode is them escaping the Federation authorities with Worf.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't blame him because that 1989 Jonas Brothers record, they were only 3 years old. So it was, right.
This is the episode they banned in the UK, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just made up 3 years old. They might not have been born yet. I made it sound like I know when the Jonas Brothers were born.
A egg and a sperm.
That's all.
Waiting to come together.
Recording an album. Playing it on a space jukebox.
Babies out of time.
Babies out of time.
Ooh, I'd watch that episode.
Sadly, we're out of time now, too.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.